That's right after church. I don't want to miss it. All right.
It's Mother's Day, and all the flyers in the back of the church. And Jimmy and I were just discussing how blessed he was. He says he's got his family here, one bunch on one side of his house and the other bunch on the other.
He's got all I hear that. That's good. Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day to you. I know some of you have brought your mothers and some of you have brought your kids. Lynette has one of her kids here. And it's good to be here and it's good to see you all. Let me look at the prayer list. I hope you have a copy of the prayer list. We have two new additions. Both of them are folks who have passed away, Susan Bruner and Chris LeMaster. And I have just two additions to the list that I received this morning. One is Daryl Cook, who passed away, and he is Jody's niece's brother-in-law. He's a part of Jody's family, and he passed away. Daryl Cook, and then Linda Davids, and this is typical, I think, of our prayer list. Linda Davids lives in Hebron, Kentucky, and had a stroke, and is dealing with that. But someone asked Jody if she could be put on our prayer list. We don't know Linda Davids, but we can sure pray for her. And strokes are serious business, as we all know, so don't forget Linda Davids.
Hagen Guy, I talked to his mom a couple of weeks ago, and she said right now he's in remission,
Oh, okay.
And doing good. I just every time he's checked, you know,
I'll
he's checking
it
a lot. But so he's doing good. I think.
All right. I want you to imagine a woman. She's a middle-aged woman. Say she's been dating a gentleman for 2 years, say. And she's always been unsettled, uncertain about where their relationship was going, whether they would really marry or not in the end. And then one day you see her and she's positively radiant, just glowing, as she shows you her diamond ring. She's not a teenager jumping up and down with joy, but what she feels is peace. She feels peace because now she knows what to expect. She knows where their relationship is headed. They're going to be married, and the ring is his promise to her. This does not mean everything's going to be perfect for them. They naturally will encounter all the problems that most married couples experience. But she knows now where they're headed, and she feels peace. In the upper room, Jesus said he would give his disciples peace. Not the kind of peace the world tries to offer, he said. He assured them there would still be bumps in the road. He said, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He died on the cross so we could have peace. Because now we can know what to expect. We can know where we're headed. No matter what difficulties confront us in life, we know that our sins can be forgiven. We can live forever in heaven. When it comes right down to it, nothing else really matters. His promise brings us peace. And so we remember him.
Sins, and we really appreciate the opportunity that you provide for us, and we realize it took Jesus' body for us to have that opportunity, and we partake of this bread and this cup, which represents his body and his blood that was shed for us to have that opportunity, and we are grateful. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Dear God, thank you again for this day you've blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you've provided us with. Thank you for the wonderful mothers, living and past, that you have gave us. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you join me now in singing Praise to Our Lord? Number 151 is our first song, and you won't see any music there, but I think you'll recognize the tune when Gail begins to play it. Faith of Our Mothers, all four verses. Okay. And then if you turn to number 275, we sing Oh Happy Day. Just the first and the last verses of Oh Happy Day.
Oh, my soul, my joy is
Just before we pray once more, let's turn number 358 and stand while we sing just the first verse of God Will Take Care of You. Holy Father in heaven, you are everything to us. Like our earthly fathers, you are our provider, supplying all our needs and more. And like our earthly fathers, you are our protector, providing us shelter from the insidious schemes of Satan. But Lord, like our earthly mothers, you are our example, demonstrating to us how to live humble and helpful lives of service. And also, like our earthly mothers, you are the one who loves us, giving the ultimate sacrifice to save us. Today we give honor to our earthly mothers, Lord, in gratitude for all they have given for our sake, and in gratitude to you for giving them to us. We know this is best done in the way we treat our mothers day by day. But help us to give special attention today to the invaluable role our mothers play in our lives. And of course, we give high praise and heartfelt thanks to you for all you do and all you've given, because you made us and you love us. Especially we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, to relieve us of our sins and guide and help us through this confusing maze of life on earth. It's only because of Jesus that we have the privilege of offering this prayer to you. And we thank you for the supreme gift of wearing his name as your children. Amen. Well, I should welcome you to Little Hickman Christian Church. I forgot to do that. We're glad you're here. And today is a special day. All you ladies, whether you're a mother or not, there's probably enough flowers out there you could have one. And we'd like for you to have one after church. This is a special day because we come together like this as a family for two primary reasons, I guess. One is to honor God, and the other is to honor our moms. And both of these are lifetime tasks, and neither one of them can be confined to a one-hour get-together on Sunday morning. You know that. Putting together a Mother's Day message is always kind of difficult because I don't suppose anything has ever been said or ever will be said that's eloquent enough and expressive enough to describe the true value of a mother. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, men are what their mothers make them. And there's some truth to that. And there's an old proverb, Spanish proverb, that says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. I like that. Mother's Day is a day when children give something back to their mothers for all the spit they've produced to wash dirty faces and all the old gum they've held in their hands All the noses they've wiped and all the scraped knees they've kissed. This is the day that mothers are rewarded for washing sheets in the middle of the night, driving kids to school when they miss the bus, enduring all those football, baseball, softball, soccer games in the rain. It's a day of appreciation and celebration. And heaven knows moms deserve our appreciation and our praise, don't they? That's, I got an amen. I always enjoyed Calvin and Hobbes comic strip. And one Mother's Day, Calvin gave his mom a handmade card and even composed a poem for her. So early that morning, real early, he came bounding into her bedroom and presents her with the card, and she opens it. And she reads the words, "I was going to buy a card with hearts of pink and red, but then I thought I'd rather spend the money on me instead." It's awfully hard to buy things when one's allowance is so small. So I guess you're pretty lucky I got you anything at all. Happy Mother's Day to you. There, I've said it. Now I'm done. So how about getting out of bed and cooking breakfast for your son? Well, I hope none of you get a Mother's Day card like that. But just in case you're feeling a little underappreciated, I've got a much better card for you today. It was handwritten, too. It even includes a poem, but the poem doesn't rhyme. The card can be found in Proverbs chapter 31. God's tribute to moms, wives, women in general. And this chapter was written by King Lemuel. I don't know who King Lemuel was. Nobody seems to be very sure. But the first verse says, "These are the words of King Lemuel, the message his mother taught him." So I call this sermon "The Things His Mother Taught Him." And beginning at verse 10, he gives a wonderful description of a mom. And these words have been used for Mother's Day sermons millions of times, but I want to share them with you today. Beginning at verse 10, let me read the rest of the chapter. "A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hands, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. How many of you moms ever received a homemade Mother's Day card from your kids using an acrostic? You know, an acrostic is almost like FBI, which stands for Federal Bureau of Investigation, or CIA, Central Intelligence Agency. You know, I have an example here that my middle grandchild made for my wife some years ago. It would embarrass him to see it now. I'm glad he's not here. But it's very intricate. He wrote, "I heart you." And down this side, he put M-I-M-I, Mimi. That's what the grandkids called her. And here for M, he put marvelous, I for incredible, M for magnificent, I for important. I love you. From Hunter. Well, Proverbs 31 is sort of like that. It's an acrostic. Each verse begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Just like each compliment here began with a letter of the English alphabet. And every line is dedicated to praising godly women everywhere. How many of you mothers would like to hear your husband and children say, "Her children stand and bless her, so does her husband. He praises her with these words. There are many fine women in the world, but you're the best of them all." Would that make you feel good? I guess. Give her the reward she's earned. She should be praised in public for what she has done. That's what we want to do this morning. We want to praise moms for what they do in our lives. But what makes them praiseworthy? Well, this chapter offers at least three thoughts in that regard. A praiseworthy wife is a valuable wife. A praiseworthy mom is a valuable wife. A praiseworthy woman can be a valuable wife. It may seem, what's the word, counterintuitive? But the first quality of a praiseworthy mother has nothing to do with motherhood. King Lemuel begins by saying, "If you can find a truly good wife, she's worth more than precious gems, rubies. Her husband can trust her. She will richly satisfy his needs. She will not hinder him, but help him all of her life." Now, I realize there are some single mothers that are raising the kids and paying the bills all on their own. And God bless them. I think we ought to encourage single moms and help them out as much as we can. But that certainly was not God's design for the home. God intended for parenting to be a team effort. And the first characteristic of Lemuel's ideal mother is being a valuable wife, worth more than rubies. I don't know what rubies are going for these days, but I'm sure they're expensive. Notice how the Bible describes her relationship with her husband, though. It's built on trust, meeting each other's needs, helping each other, working together as a team. Unfortunately, some moms in particular have fallen into an unhealthy pattern where their kids become their life. And that's understandable because kids do demand a lot of attention. between tying their shoes and wiping their noses and packing their lunches and driving him to school and taking him to soccer practice and or baseball practice or dance lessons or piano lessons, your world begins to revolve around the kids. And you center your weekends on their activities. They even sometimes sneak into your bed in the middle of the night. On the rare occasions when you and your husband do get a night out by yourselves, you spend a good deal of the time talking about the kids. Have you been there? Yeah. Now, that's not healthy for your marriage, not good for the kids either. A fellow named David Code, who wrote a book entitled To Raise Happy Kids, he said, "These days, many parents seem to be married to their children instead of their spouses. This creates stressed out parents who feel disconnected from each other and demanding, entitled kids who act out." And when parents are so focused on their children, they don't have time or energy for each other. They can grow discontented with each other. And kids pick up on that too. Kids pick up on things pretty easily. They can pick up on insecurity and anxiety in their parents. And when this happens, it's sad. Researchers who study family behavior agree that a strong bond between parents is the heart of a happy family. One family therapist said, no matter how sacrilegious it sounds, you need to put your relationship ahead of your children. A strong relationship provides security for your children and demonstrates what a loving, respectful relationship should be. And what could be more important than that? I think that's why Proverbs 31 begins by describing moms as busy, industrious women. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household. She goes out and inspects the field and buys it. With her own hand, she plants a vineyard. She's energetic, a hard worker, and watches for bargains. She works far into the night. And it goes on to describe the kind of work that moms do both inside and outside the home. It may shock some people to realize that the Bible does not criticize a woman for having a job outside the home. These verses in Proverbs describe an industrious woman, a career woman who's busy buying and selling and trading. She's described in these verses as a manufacturer, an importer, a manager, a realtor, a farmer, a seamstress, an upholsterer, a merchant. I mean, she wears many hats, don't you, Mom? Yeah. Another translation says she sets about her work vigorously. Mom's work is never done. Have you ever heard that said? Although the type of work may be done different nowadays, praiseworthy moms are still just as hardworking today as they were in the days of King Lemuel. According to a new survey by salary.com, moms should be charging $115,000 a year for their work. Take that home with you. In the 10th annual Mom Salary Survey, researchers examined 6,616 women, mothers, and attempted to value their work by breaking it down into different duties, 10 different duties. Daycare center teacher, CEO, psychologist, cook, housekeeper, laundry machine operator, computer operator, facilities manager, janitor, and cab driver. Those are the 10 categories. And the results indicated that stay-at-home moms would earn a base salary of almost $37,000 plus almost $79,000 in overtime, resulting in $115,000. And moms that work outside the home in this survey would earn a base salary of nearly $40,000 plus $24,000 in overtime, adding up to $63,500 on top of their day jobs. Moms are valuable. I want to tell you. Evelyn Ebb, who's general manager of salary.com, said, "We see moms as a compilation of 10 jobs in one person. The breadth of moms' responsibilities is beyond what most workers ever experience day to day. Imagine if you had to attract and hire a candidate to fill this role. 10 different jobs at the same time." According to the survey, the typical stay-at-home mom works almost 97 hours a week. That's a lot. 13 hours a day as a daycare teacher, almost 4 hours as a household CEO, 7.5 hours as a psychologist, 14 hours as a chef, 15.5 hours as a housekeeper, 6.5 hours doing laundry, 9.5 hours as a computer operator, almost 11 hours as a facilities manager, 8 hours as a janitor, and 8 hours driving the family minivan. By the time a kid reaches 18, a mother has had to handle some 18,000 hours of work generated by the kids. In fact, women who never have children enjoy the equivalent of an extra 3 months a year in leisure time. If you don't have kids, you get 3 months extra every year. So for 10 jobs, nearly 100 hours a week, and a six-figure annual salary, moms may be the most vigorous workers in the country. The real mind-blowing thing is they do it all for free. So whether you're a stay-at-home mom or a mom that works outside the home, the work you do is priceless. A praiseworthy mom is a valuable wife. She's also a vigorous worker, as we have illustrated. But last of all, she's a virtuous woman. King Lemuel says she is strong and respected by the people. She speaks wise words and teaches others to be kind. She watches over her family, never wastes her time. Being a virtuous wife or a virtuous woman is less about what you do and more about what you are. And King Lemuel offers a number of suggestions in that department. He says she's strong and dignified. She doesn't get bent out of shape worrying about what tomorrow may bring. She enjoys life. She smiles. She laughs. She speaks with wisdom and kindness. She cares about her family. She's careful about how she spends her time. And she shows compassion to the poor and needy. But where do all these wonderful virtues and character traits come from? They are a result of her reverence for God. King Lemuel says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised." Now, our society places a lot of emphasis on women's looks, their weight, their appearance, how they dress. Proverbs 31 reminds us that those things don't last. A praiseworthy mom's attractiveness comes from her relationship to the Lord. To sum it all up, a praiseworthy mom is a Christ-like mom. When you have a real, authentic walk with God, His character, His love, His joy, His peace, His kindness, goodness, wisdom, compassion will fill your heart and your life and overflow into the lives of your family. So a virtuous woman is above all important. I know there are likely some moms here today who don't feel like they're praiseworthy. My only fear about preaching this from this scripture is some of you might feel it, look at this portrait of ideal womanhood and feel inferior, as though you don't measure up to it. I don't think that's what God intended this scripture to be. I think it's a composite picture of the good and godly moms everywhere. And I'd say you're a lot more like her than you realize. Don't see her as a model to imitate in every detail. See her instead as an inspiration to be all that God made you to be. A valuable wife, a vigorous worker, a virtuous woman. I love moms. I know you do too. And I know God does. But let's love them for what they're really worth. I'd like to close with just a prayer for mothers, if you will be kind enough to pray with me. Heavenly Father, we want to lift up the mothers of our church and our community and the mothers of our country before you today. We pray for new mothers who are facing new responsibilities. We pray for expectant mothers who are not sure what to expect. We pray for mothers who are tired or stressed or depressed. We pray for mothers who struggle to balance both work and family. We pray for mothers whose children have physical or mental or emotional disabilities. We pray for mothers who raise children on their own. For mothers who have lost a child. For foster moms and adoptive moms. We pray for mothers whose children have left home. And we pray for those whose desire to be a mother has not been fulfilled. Bless all mothers, Lord, that their love may be deep and tender, that they may lead their children to know and love you. Help each one of them, Lord, to be valuable wives, vigorous workers, and virtuous women, deserving our praise and appreciation and recognition. All this we pray in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. Let's sing our invitation hymn, which is number 395. Number 395, just the first and last verses while we stand together. Thank you. glad you could be here today. I'm glad Dalton Hall could be here today, all the way from Alabama. It's good to have you back, Dalton. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord, we realize that none of our mothers has been perfect in your sight, and some of them have been far less than ideal. Some of us have not had the blessing of knowing a mother's love. So each of us deserves to keep this special day in his or her own way. But in your vast wisdom, you designed the family to be a foretaste of heaven, where we will experience all the love and trust and joy we'll ever desire. Thank you for whatever foretaste of heaven each of us has been blessed with. And help us to understand more fully how you love us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I love sorrow and hope.